Billy Graham once said, if ever there was a time this country needed the intervention of God, it is now. Well, we're going to talk right now with Laura Hollis, who is a syndicated columnist, and she wrote a column recently on the subject of forgetting God. In fact, she talks a lot about the Old Testament book of Lamentations. This is Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and Laura Hollis teaches at Notre Dame, but she's speaking for herself, representing herself and her columns. And Laura, it's great to have you back on the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Jerry. It's my pleasure to be here.
And do you mind if I ask you what you teach at Notre Dame?
No, not at all. I teach courses in business law and entrepreneurship and management.
Okay, good. And you've been writing a column for about 2, 3, 4, 5 years, something like that, with Creator Syndicate?
Actually, Jerry, it's now 7 years. Hard to believe, but true.
Oh, my goodness. Time flies. I think I talked to you before you were even syndicated. That's great. All right, so here we go. You wrote recently about the problem of how America has forgotten God and we're reaping the consequences. Please go ahead and wax eloquent.
Sure. So it just so happened I was sitting in church a couple of Sundays ago, and I was flipping through the Bible and came across the book of Lamentations. It had been a while since I read it, and it's a brief book, as I'm sure you and your readers know. And as I was reading it, what struck me was the parallels between what was going on in Israel at the time and the kinds of things that are happening in the United States and as a result of United States policy. And so I decided to write a column in which I was drawing some of those parallels. As I'm sure you know, in the book of Lamentations, the prophet Jeremiah, I believe, they still think he wrote that, is weeping and wailing about the fall of Jerusalem as a result of, at the hands of the Babylonians, and the destruction of the temple. But he talks a lot about the things that caused it, and he talks about, you know, the ego of the leadership, that they were false, that they had stopped warning the people about their sins, and as a result, Jerusalem was overrun and the temple was destroyed, and he says this is a consequence of having abandoned God, and we actually have to return to God and repent and go back to doing the things that he told us to do and avoiding the behaviors that he tells us to avoid.
Hmm. All right. And do you see any parallels to America? Of course you do.
Oh, it's frightening. The first thing that struck me was the catastrophe in Afghanistan. And while I realize that's not U.S. territory, you know, the idea that we would spend 20 years there and then just leave and leave somewhere between, the numbers vary, 60 billion and 80 billion in weapons and material and ammunition and vehicles, aircraft there, to be taken by, you know, our enemies and by the enemies of the Afghan people, you know, absolutely staggering. I also mentioned the fact that corporations in the West, not just in the United States, but in Europe, are so greedily seeking to enter the market in China that they're willing to, quote-unquote, collaborate with the Chinese government. There's no collaborating with the Chinese government. What happens is that, you know, these companies form so-called joint ventures with Chinese corporations, and then that makes it possible, and in many cases this has happened, for the Chinese companies to either take the intellectual property or the Chinese government, you know, quote-unquote, nationalizes and takes all of it. And there goes the intellectual property, the patents, the billions of dollars in investment funds. And this is happening because people are chasing the money. The same goes for Hollywood and, you know, our sports industries. Hollywood, you know, screams censorship. If you try to argue that, you know, some of the stuff that they're producing is disgusting, but they're very happy to edit their movies and television shows for the Chinese market, and we've seen some of our most notable athletes who are willing to apologize if they try to defend the freedom of the people who live in Hong Kong or the people who live in Taiwan, or they refuse to criticize the treatment of China's treatment of the Muslim Uyghurs. Because, you know, we want the Chinese people to be able to, you know, have access to watch NBA sports or things like that. I mean, completely losing sight of the things that really matter. And then I concluded my article with Hollywood's attitude about sexuality and abortion. And I quoted from a tweet, which is not really safe for primetime, that was actually, it wasn't a tweet, it was a post on Instagram that singer Demi Lovato posted, where she's actually advocating for people to engage in sexual depravity and gosh, if you can, make money doing it in the crudest possible terms. And so I'm thinking this is where we are, where the most successful people have sold out for greed, deceit, depravity. And I think Americans need to wake up and realize that this is what's going on.
You know, it's interesting when you mentioned the Uyghurs of China. Many people have said this is essentially modern day slavery, where they're being forced in slave like conditions. And what's so interesting is you see some of these sports figures that will, let's say, they will protest against the national anthem because we had slavery here. But that slavery did end in 1865. And meanwhile, they will turn around and they will support with their, they'll support the corporations that build these things or have these things made in China by this slave labor of the year of our Lord 2021. So in other words, wait a minute. You're protesting slavery that ended in 1865 at the cost of 700,000 Americans who died in the Civil War. And meanwhile, you're not saying anything bad about the slave labor practices happening today in modern day China. It doesn't make sense.
Well, that's exactly right. And it's not just that these people are enslaved, which is already horrific, but they do forced abortion. The women are raped. The men are sterilized. The women are sterilized. There's infanticide. I mean, it's horrific behavior. And they don't dare criticize that because there's money involved. They feel safe criticizing the United States because they know there's no blowback.
Wow. There it is. And you were talking about the fact that, and I think these parallels are amazing, but in the Old Testament we see examples where they had these idols that were worshipped, and the people would basically sacrifice babies, and they would do that to the idols, such as Moloch and so forth. And you said, well, there's parallels to that to modern America with abortion.
It's disgusting. All right, so Salon published an article just about 10 days ago in which they're criticizing the recent law that was passed in Texas that prohibits abortion after a heartbeat can be detected. So they published an article, the title of which is, and I quote, "Why Satanists May Be the Last Best Hope to Save Abortion Rights in Texas." What are they talking about? They're talking about the fact that the Satanic Temple is taking the position that abortion is a religious ritual for their believers, and so therefore it's protected under the First Amendment. You know, that's what we call saying the quiet part out loud. I mean, horrific, and they can say that with a straight face and no sense of irony.
Well, you know, when you think about the founders of America, do you think they expected this kind of thing? I mean, obviously they didn't. I mean, George Washington said, for example, of all the dispositions and habits which lead to political prosperity, religion and morality are indispensable supports. How about just a comment on that remark in light of this forgetting God of today?
He was not the only one. John Adams said the same thing about our Constitution. It was made for a moral, religious people, was unsuitable for any other, because, of course, the idea that the government is limited goes hand in hand with the idea that people restrain themselves, and they restrain themselves because of the Judeo-Christian principles upon which the country was founded. You abandon those, and then everything else goes. I mean, everything falls apart. And in fact, that's exactly what we're seeing. We're seeing incredible government encroachment in the area of healthcare, in the area of education, taxation, et cetera. And I think it's because people have lost sight of the fact that you cannot have a country based upon individual liberty if people are free to do whatever they like. That's not liberty, that's license.
Mm, boy, that's so true. Abraham Lincoln said that in our prosperity, we have forgotten God, and that's the fountainhead of our problem. But our prosperity is what caused us to forget God. Do you think there's truth to that?
I think that's, you know, and again, kind of going back to one of the first things I say in that article, is that, you know, you read the Bible, and one of the things you discover is that, as Ecclesiastes says, there's nothing new under the sun. People have been people forever. And there's a quote from Lamentations where the writer is saying that, you know, no one thought that enemies could enter into Jerusalem's gates and destroy it. No, neither the kings of Israel nor anybody else outside, and yet it fell, right? And I think we're looking at something similar. The United States has been so powerful and so prosperous for so long that people assume that, well, we can abandon all the things that made us that way and still stay strong. We will not.
Well, but isn't it true that God can turn things around?
Of course. So, you know, what he says all along is, you know, turn to me, turn to me, turn to me. Even in the book of Samuel, and I love that book, where Samuel goes and says, the people ask for a king. And he says, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. They don't really want a king. If we would just follow what God asks us to do, we would not suffer an awful lot of the consequences that we endure at the hands of oppressive governments, right? But he says over and over again throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, turn to me, repent of your sins, etc. And to a large extent, I think one can look at this as, you know, these are the consequences of our own actions, as much or even more so as they are quote-unquote punishments, right? If I jump off of a building and I break my legs, it's not that God's punishing me. He's told me, don't jump off of a building. You suffer the consequences of our own actions. We become weak, cowardly, dissolute, and we suffer the consequences of that. If we turn to God in prayer, we strengthen the things that make ourselves strong. You know, we tap into that source of endless wisdom, and that enables us not only to make better individual decisions, but better decisions as a collective body. You know, in our voting, our leaders presumably would also follow those same principles, etc.
Here's a quote from your article. Tens of millions of Americans still believe in integrity, loyalty, honesty, decency, and responsibility. But the hour is late. Go ahead and comment on that, if you would.
I think Americans, for several decades, have operated on the assumption that our major institutions, our government, our businesses, our educational institutions, have operated under the principles that were the basis of the founding of the country. And we're sort of finding out that that's not true, right? The difficulty of changing things, the magnitude of the change that requires seems overwhelming, right? If we rely only on ourselves, it looks impossible. But I think this is where, you know, it then goes on to say, you know, if we repent of our misdeeds, turn to God in prayer, right? Turn to the Lord, lift up our hearts, say we have sinned and rebelled. You know, if we say, we admit we can't do it, we've gotten ourselves into this situation, you help us get out, anything is possible.
All right. Excellent. What else do you want to say? Especially you mentioned education. I think that's an area where a lot of Americans are beginning to wake up and realize, wait a minute, this is not good. I don't like some of this curriculum I'm finally learning about at my child's school.
Well, I mean, I think it's about getting involved, right? I'm hearing from friends that are teachers all over the country. People are showing up to the school board meetings. That's what has to be done. You have to say, we want to see the curriculum. You have to read the books that your children are bringing home for their assignments. You have to ask your children what's being taught in school today. You need to get involved with your city council. You need to hold elected officials' feet to the fire, especially at the national level. You know, you vote for people, they promise they're going to go to D.C. and change things, and they don't. Then they're out. Right? We just can't coast along thinking that someone else is going to do it. We're going to have to do the heavy lifting. And that includes, you know, higher education institutions. If they're teaching things you don't support, don't send your children there. Don't support their athletic facilities and teams. Same for entertainment institutions. If you're hearing things that actors, actresses, musicians are saying, you know, movie theaters, like, stop supporting it. Starve the beast.
Excellent. Okay, we have half a minute left. Are you an optimist or a pessimist about the future of America?
I'm always an optimist. I'm always an optimist. I think anything is possible. We're a wonderful country. We have wonderful people. We need to take control of our country back, and I know we can do this.
All right. Laura Hollis, thank you so much for joining us. Creators.com, so you can see Laura Hollis's work. Appreciate it, Laura. All the best.
Thank you, Jerry. You too.